Maggie Motors at tailgate here on 93.7 at KKRL. Jeff Blankman with you down here at Anita today as the Audubon Wheelers are taking on Cam. Right now we're sitting down with head coach Sean Burks from the Audubon Wheelers. They're sitting 3-0 on the season. Coach, first congrats on a great start to the season here so far. Appreciate you joining us.
You bet. Appreciate it. It's an exciting time of the year, and somehow we're about to be halfway through it. So just kind of the weekly grind and keeping after, and all of a sudden we look up and we're going to be 4 of the 8 games done here pretty quick.
Is there a season that goes faster than the fall in the football season?
No, as a head football coach, no. As the AD, no. Maybe that gap between the end of winter and the start of spring events, maybe, you know, that's the off season for ADs, is the end of February till the end of March. But that's about it. You know, and I think part of it is just that structure of, you know, Monday's film in the lower levels, Tuesday, Wednesday are you're really practicing and getting after it. Thursday, it's that final prep. Friday's the game. Saturday's your film. Sunday, you're prepping for the next team, and you just keep repeating that cycle, and you're getting after it week by week and day by day. It seems to fly by, and I think I think we looked it up this weekend. We're closer to the state title game than we are the first day of camp now. So it goes fast.
It does go very fast, Coach. But one thing that's also been fast is your offense. The lowest you've scored so far this year was the season opener against Remsen, where you scored 64. What's been clicking so well offensively?
I think the kids have really understood their assignments and communicated on how we're going to do things, because every defense aligned a little bit differently. You know, and you know, week one, Remsen, we knew what they were going to kind of give us for the most part. Of the three-man front, but they were going to adjust to strength and move some guys and, you know, try to stay in the cover two base. And then you go to Griswold, that's a four-man front. That's kind of a 2-2 box, totally different than anything like that. Then you go to Arweva, that runs similar to Remsen's, you know, 3-1-2 or 5-1-2, but they handle, you know, strengths and motions a little bit differently than Remsen did. So you're kind of referring back to, hey, 2 weeks ago when we did this, but now it's going to be this. Now you're preparing for Cam. That's a totally different prep than anybody. You know, the way they knock their linemen, knock their backers, the way they funnel things, just, you know, more of a cover three base than a cover two base with a safety on top. Just different things week to week that really change. You know, those are the biggest things you're worried about on Tuesday on the offense and Thursday when you're tuning up. And then obviously everyone, you know, is going to throw wrinkles in. So you can plan for some things, but you also have to be ready to adjust on the fly and see those things. And our kids are really comfortable with our offense. They know what their position, but they also know, you know, how to help each other out. There's times in practice when, you know, we're installing something and I look over and you'd think that, you know, these three guys that are talking are screwing around, but they're talking about, you know, if this guy comes here, I'm going to block it this way. And if I see this, because it changes week to week, and our kids are really, really mature in their focus and their understanding of our offense. And that's helped us to make sure that we don't have, you know, a drive that, you know, ends in a punt early or a turnover early, like we started in the last couple seasons. Early on in games, you're a little bit slow kicking that off to figure out, oh, this is where they're going to be, or this is what the game speed looks like, or this is what we looked at in practice, but now you've seen it in game rep. We really haven't had to waste those reps, and, you know, to come out in 3 weeks and score on every drive as the varsity and not turn it over and not even punt is tremendous credit to the kids.
Coach, with the success you guys have had at offense, you really haven't had to play the starters, you know, in the second half of any games. Does that concern you as you start to run into some teams that, you know, might be able to push you into the second half, of just having that game stamina, being able to go, you know, a full 4 quarters if you need to?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a concern. Not so much that I'm worried about it, just that we haven't seen it. You know, I'm confident that at this point in the year, our guys are used to that, those reps. You know, we practice, you know, and we get after it. We've had camp. It would really concern me more if it was the first week of the season and we had to really get after it. But for the most part, our guys have done a really good job of, you know, of doing what they need to do on top of it. We talk hydration, nutrition, sleep. You know, we talk about, you know, getting your reps. And I think the way we set up practice, you know, we have some ramp up periods and we have some slower install periods, and you know, we were pretty intentional about, you know, how often we're sprinting and we're getting after it and how often we're slowing it back down. It's a concern more because we haven't seen it than I'm truly concerned because I don't think we're going to handle it more than anything. And, you know, the thing that also gives me a little bit of, you know, confidence in that is the fact that we do rotate some guys, you know, on, you know, we could truly rotate offensive linemen, defensive linemen. We could rotate one tight end with one D end. And then you could rotate, you know, a little bit here and there with, you know, Carson Wessel could play offense and Carter Overmeyer could play defense, and vice versa. They can both play linebacker. They can both play in the backfield. So just our depth piece, if somebody goes down or somebody needs a blow or someone's just getting pretty gassed in the third or fourth quarter, we feel like we have the depth that we can sub the next guy in and not have a big drop off.
You guys are down at Cam tonight, as we mentioned. This has been a great matchup over the years. You guys are 5-5 since 2016. They had a little run where they won 4 in a row against you, so you guys controlled the early part of this rivalry, but you got them last year. What's this game mean for you guys, not just this year, but kind of in the history here, especially in this last decade or so?
It's been a really, really fun environment. You know, it's been a fun atmosphere. I think that's what it's about. You know, the 70-some, 80-some point performances we put up against some guys, those aren't games you're going to remember when you're years out and you're talking about your fond high school football memories or whatever it may be, even at the end of the season when you're thinking back to it. You know, the games you remember are those games that, you know, are important for this reason of, you know, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. It's going to be a district title type atmosphere. It should be just a tremendous, tremendous chance for us to get better. And I think a lot of mutual respect. You know, I really, really respect their program, and for good reason. You know, what the things that they were doing over the years have been some of the best things in the area. You know, their defense, when Barry took it over and changed some things, was tough for everybody to score on. You know, their offense, when they have a kid like Lane Speaker, yeah, was tough as well. But then they move on and they replace those kids with the next slew of kids, and they didn't drop off tremendously. You know, we're well aware that they beat us twice in 21, but then they came back in 22 and 23 and beat us, you know, by 30 and 34 on top of that after those kids had graduated. So, yeah, we're well aware what's going on there. And you know, they'd rattled off 4 in a row from 21 through 23. We were able to get the upper hand last year. It's kind of come and gone a little bit, but yeah, since dropping 8, man, you know, they're probably the team that's in our area that we've faced the most, that's given us the most fits. I think of district games, I think we've lost 6 district games in our 9-plus years in 8-man, and they're responsible for 3 of those losses. And then they're also responsible for one of our, you know, final end of the season losses in the Dome. So those are big games. This isn't just a, hey, let's play each other week 1 every year because we're in different classes and it's a fun non-district game some years or whatever. It's always meant a lot. It's been a non-district game a couple times, but more often than not, the winner of this game has gone on to win the district title when we played each other. And the winner has typically made a pretty good run in the playoffs most years. So we know what's on the line Friday night. Our kids know what's on the line. They'll have an awesome crowd. They'll have an awesome game environment. It's fun for us to go on the road and, you know, kind of play that spoiler role as far as going into somebody's place and trying to walk out with a victory. It's going to be unlike anything we've had this year. There's no doubt about it. They've changed so much since week 1, you know, with a new coach, new players. You know, they replaced quite a bit of seniors. They're playing so much better than they were week 1 and week 2. And give credit to Coach Kaufman and that coaching staff, because they truly have found some things that work and have hung their hat on them. You don't bounce back from a 52-6 Fremont loss and beat 50-48 Bedford team on the road, 50-48 on accident. That's coaching. That's buying in as players. That's a mature group. That's a strong football culture. And we know that, you know, we're going to get a handful on Friday night, and it very well could be a district title matchup where the winner of this ends up the 1 seed and the loser ends up the 2 seed, where it could really determine a lot as far as postseason. Our kids know that.
Coach, is it the run game or the pass game that's improved the most for them offensively since week 1?
I think they're just improved all around. You know, defensively against Fremont Mills, you know, they allowed some big plays in the pass game. They've shored a lot of that up. Offensively, they found their identity a little bit more. They've started running the Bauer kid out of the Wildcat a little bit more, where early in the year they just wanted to throw it to him or hand it to other people. You know, since I don't have the Fremont stats in front of me exactly, but I want to say that in that game that the Bauer kid didn't touch the ball as many times as they wish he could have. Let's say, I think he had a couple catches. I remember seeing some catches on film where he was pretty impressive. I think he had, you know, but he only had like 3 catches on the night. And then when you looked at the run game, I don't think he had a single carry. And then you go to fast forward 2 weeks to the Bedford game when they go on the road and knock off a big Bedford team. And he was very, very involved in the run game. I think he had something like 12 carries for 200 yards. And then on top of it, still had his normal three catches for some yards for 60 yards and a touchdown or something like that. So when you've got a kid like Colin Bauer that's 6'4", 205 or whatever he is, that plays with the motor that just jumps out on film, they found a way as a coaching staff to figure out, hey, we need to get the ball into 25's hands more, whether that's snap it to him or throw it to him. And so they've changed that approach. So I think their running game has changed a lot because they've changed what they're doing of trying to get the ball into Bauer's hands more.
What do you do to contain him or not allow him to get going and hurt you guys tonight?
I think alignment pre-snap is big. They're going to shift. They're going to motion. They're going to run some toe-to-toe gaps and try to displace you out of your gap and hit a crease. They do a lot of really nice things as far as that goes. And I think that to me is the first thing. You better align right, because if you don't, they're going to exploit that. And then you better know your assignment, because if you start creeping up whether you're in the right gap or not, but you sell out to run, they're going to run that flood pass game or run Bauer by you on a vertical. And then I think the probably the most important thing after that is going to be tackling. With that 6'4 wingspan, he reminds me a lot of the kid from Winfield Mount Union a couple of years ago that we just struggled to tackle in that 6'4 frame, because if you stop your feet and dive or lunge or put your head crown to your helmet down, you're just going to get stiff arm to the turf and he's going to keep running. He's got such a long wingspan and he's quick, he's fast. He runs an 11-something 100-meter dash at 6'4". And you see it on film when he gets to long striding up the sideline, no one's catching him. So we better keep him contained. We better make sure we align right. And then we better make sure we tackle right. Because if not, we've seen on film what happens when you don't tackle.
You mentioned earlier that, you could see them doing some slants and different things defensively. What do they do to try and slow down your guys' kind of vaunted run game?
Yeah, their zone will be good. Their zone defense, their alignment, It's really unique. I think the thing about it is you have to understand what they're giving you and take that. And sometimes it's the pass game. Sometimes it's the run game. Sometimes it's not much. Sometimes it's you're going to have to run it in the A gap right at them. Sometimes you're going to have to try to get to the edge. And I think these guys are probably have the most sophisticated defense that we have seen or may see the rest of the year, because they do such a good job. Up front, you think there's an A gap or a B gap open, and then there's some movement where, a DN slants or a nose slants, or they crash after a puller. They're going to do a lot of different things where, a lot of other teams, the picture you get pre-snap is the picture you're going to get at the snap, where Cam is going to do a lot of different things there. So for us, it's a matter of making sure we take our assignments and do them. And then if they give us something crazy, we have to make sure we're ready to adjust on the fly. And I think more than anything, with the way they play the safety and the way they play their alignment with their gaps, is you have to be okay taking the less explosive play sometimes. They're looking to frustrate you at times. And I think that's the biggest thing is understanding that, there's going to be points in the game where, you might have to just stack together a 7, 8, 9 play touchdown drive if you're going to go score, because just the way they set up, you're not going to be explosive against them at times, due to the way the safety is on top of the box.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all of the time here in the pregame. I'll come down, catch up with you after the game for the scoreboard show. So best of luck tonight, and appreciate all of the time.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You bet. Head Coach Sean Burks again with the Audubon Wheelers. Again, I'll step away, take a break. Mac with more of the Mackey Motors tailgate. Randy Spee set to join me next for the broadcast here on KKRL.